Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Neil Nymark. I'm excited to be with you today. I am a board-certified family physician and founder of the Academy of Stress Mastery. And I wanted to welcome you to the second tape in our Stress Mastery Fundamentals series. So what we're going to talk about today is the relaxation response. And this is such an important, critical aspect of stress management. And it really is the body's inborn hardwired antidote to stress. So even we learned about the fight or flight response last time. You know that we have this automatic, unconscious, hardwired fight or flight response that based on perceived threat triggers this whole sequence of events and nerve cell firing and neurotransmitter chemical release that gears us up to fight or to flee. Now, we have an inborn hardwired off switch and an antidote to that, and it is called the relaxation response. And we're going to learn a lot about that today, and I'm going to explain to you just how to access that relaxation response, how to turn on that switch, and how to make a real difference in reducing stress in your life. Now, there's a wonderful poem. I remember memorizing this in sixth grade or something by Rudyard Kipling. And Rudyard Kipling was a British writer. He was actually born in India, and he lived mostly in England. He actually won the Nobel Prize in Literature back in the early 1900s. And he wrote this amazing poem called If. And it goes, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too." And it goes on and on. It's a beautiful poem about staying calm in the face of stress. Well, there's always an irreverent version of everything, and there's this law called Evans's Law, EVANS'S, and it has a slightly different version of the Rudyard Kipling poem, and I think this is one we can all kind of agree with is pretty accurate. And it goes, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, then you just don't understand the problem." I love that one, because that's what it seems like. It almost seems like, hey, everybody should be stressed by this, and if you can keep your head calm when others are stressed, then there's something wrong with you. You don't understand the problem. But we'll learn that's not really true. You can maintain a certain level of equanimity and calm, and it's critical to do so in the face of adverse circumstances and heightened stress. So we know stress is ubiquitous, right? Stress is both a cause of illness, and it's an exacerbating factor, which means it makes illness worse in almost all illnesses. Remember, we learned in prior talks that up to 85% of all visits to the doctor are for stress-related illnesses. That means something that's either caused by stress or made worse by it. And stress really is the common denominator in virtually all disease. And when we talk about stress in this aspect, we're talking about really a triggering of the fight or flight response, what you learned about in the last CD. Now, a certain amount of stress is critical, and it's necessary to maintain a certain level of productivity and alertness and awareness and arousal. And two physiologists back in the early 1900s created this typical bell curve that is called the Yerkes-Dodson curve. And what it says is there is a point at which stress is on the x-axis horizontally, and performance and alertness is on the y-axis going up and down. So a certain point of stress, if it's too low, you're just not alert enough, not aroused enough, not aware enough to perform optimally. Then there's a point of stress where it's just the right optimal performance, and then if you exceed that, you move into sort of high stress, underperformance, anxiety, disorganization, etc. So we really need to find the right amount of stress for each one of us is unique in this aspect, and that's a critical part of stress management, is finding out at what level of intensity of stress do you function optimally. Now, Viktor Frankl, the great psychiatrist and author of Man's Search for Meaning, was a Holocaust survivor, and he wrote a saying that I love here. He goes, "What man actually needs is not a tensionless state, but rather the striving and struggling for a worthwhile goal, a freely chosen task." Now, in the early 1900s as well, actually in 1915, a famous doctor and researcher, physiologist, Walter Cannon, who was at the Department of Physiology at Harvard Medical School, coined the term the fight or flight response. So really, in the human body and in the animal kingdom as well, the stress response, that inborn response, is the fight or flight response. And it was Walter Cannon's work that led to an understanding of the cascade of events that leads to fight or flight. Now, later on in the early 1900s, really around the middle of the 20th century, in 1949, a man named Walter Hess, who was also a Nobel Prize winner, demonstrated that the fight or flight response can actually be evoked by stimulating a portion of the brain. So if you put little electrodes in there and stimulated a portion of the hypothalamus, you could actually evoke the entire fight or flight response. And it was then Hess that realized this represents a genetic wisdom of the ages, that the fight or flight response is a genetic inborn code that's designed to secure our safety and survival into the future. Now, if you remember from our talk on fight or flight, it is a primitive, automatic, inborn response that prepares us to fight an attack or run from it. And remember, it's the perceived attack. It's a perception that triggers the fight or flight. So any perceived attack, harm, or threat to our survival triggers this fight or flight response, which starts in the locus coeruleus. This is a part of the primitive brainstem, and it basically acts as a fuse which releases noradrenaline, a neurotransmitter, that then ignites the fight or flight emergency response. And from there, it travels to the amygdala, a portion of the brain which is involved with emotion and anger and hate and survival type emotions. And from there, the response goes to the hypothalamus, which then triggers the release of adrenocorticotropic hormone that triggers the release of cortisol from the adrenal glands, as well as nerve cell stimulation that then goes to the adrenal medulla to release epinephrine and norepinephrine. And then the response carries on throughout the body, and the biochemistry is in play to make us run from attack or face the attacker and fight very hard. Now, how did the relaxation response, how is this antidote, this other hardwired sort of software program that's loaded into our physiology and genetics, how was this discovered? Well, it falls back on the name of a very brilliant cardiologist named Herbert Benson, who did his work at Harvard Medical School, and he discovered this, actually quite interestingly, through contact with the Transcendental Meditation, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and the time that TM was being very, very highly popularized in the States, the Maharishi Yogi actually went to Benson and said, "Hey, I have a challenge for you. We are meditators, and we believe that we can control the autonomic nervous system." In other words, the automatic nervous system that controls blood pressure and respiratory rate and pulse rate and temperature. And he said, we know how to control this through mental techniques called transcendental meditation. And we'd like you to study us so we can bring this to the Western world, the scientific world. And Herbert Benson at the time was a young researcher, and he really went out on a limb at a very conservative medical school. And he agreed to study the Transcendental Meditators under the condition that he would publish whatever he found, and if the results were not favorable, he would publish them as well. So he had to have the agreement that whatever the truth was, he would discover it and publish the results. And what he found was that there is a place within us that he termed the relaxation response, and it's a physical part of our brain, and it's a physiological response that when it's triggered, and that it seems to be located in and around the hypothalamus, that it sends out patterns of nerve cell firing and chemical release that almost precisely counteract the hypervigilant response, the activating response of the fight or flight response. So he found this area that is actually an off switch, if you will, and that was incredible. It had never been discovered before. And when they actually did studies and put electrodes on the hypothalamus of cats, I believe it was, and they were able to show that they could initiate this tremendous reversal of fight or flight. And what they found were the following, that they could predictably measure a decrease in blood pressure, a diminished respiratory rate, a lower pulse rate, a decrease in oxygen consumption. There was an increase in what we call alpha brain waves, which are associated with relaxation in the body. And in many cases, there was an improved sense of mental and spiritual well-being. Now, because this relaxation response was hardwired, the critical thing is it's not a placebo effect. We don't need to believe it will work any more than when the doctor taps your little reflex area under your kneecap, the patellar reflex, the patellar tendon, with his little red hammer, your leg jumps out. It's an automatic response. It is a hardwired response. Now, the difference is you have to elicit it. It's not automatic in the sense that it gets triggered unconsciously, but there are conscious ways through conscious meditative techniques and other exercises that we'll talk about later in this tape that you can actually trigger this relaxation response. And when you do, the physiology occurs. All those things we talked about, the decreased blood pressure, respiratory rate, etc. Now, the key here is that we, in order to draw upon this as an effective stress mastery tool, we have to exercise our relaxation response muscle. In other words, just like any other response in the body, when we exercise it, when we utilize it, we develop a sort of muscle memory, and by activating this relaxation response, we can create a situation where we now have a very powerful tool to combat the overactivation of our fight or flight response. And we enjoy beneficial physiological and biochemical and mental effects when we trigger or activate or evoke the relaxation response. So remember, whether we believe in it or not, what they found is people who sat and elicited and evoked this relaxation response experienced the benefits in their physiology. Now, some, and not everyone, experiences immediate emotional calm or a sense of tranquility or serenity. Some do, but many don't, and that does seem to come with time, that over time, if you continue to do this, you're more likely to experience a level of serenity and peace as well emotionally. But that's not why you do it. You do it because it's good for you. It turns down and reduces all the harmful activity that occurs with a fight or flight response that's stuck in the on position. So it gives us that down switch, that dimmer switch, that off switch to reduce that constant stimulation of our nervous system and physiology. So You know, you can't measure the benefit or the effectiveness of the relaxation response based on how it feels. And I remember when I first learned this response from Dr. Benson at one of his seminars, he likened it to brushing your teeth. And he said, listen, you don't brush your teeth and say, oh, that was a great brush, I really loved it. No, you do it because it's good for you. You know it works. You know it reduces dental caries and it improves the health of your gums and et cetera, et cetera. It's good oral hygiene. You don't do it because it feels good, even though that may be an added benefit. But the most important thing is to actually take the time and discipline necessary to elicit the relaxation response. Now, once it's elicited, the benefits to our overstress physiology happen. It allows us to bypass the fear and anxiety that kind of narrow our perceptions and affect our beliefs. So it's a very, very important response. So how do we elicit the relaxation response? Well, you know, in the next tape, I'm going to run you through a very specific exercise on the relaxation response, and you'll just be able to sit and follow the sound of my voice and actually evoke the relaxation response. But I'm going to tell you what we do in that tape. The simplest way to evoke the benefits of the relaxation response are a simple two-step method. One is you pick a word or a phrase that has meaning for you. It could be the word one, love, peace. It could be a phrase like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, or God grant me serenity, or Lord make me an instrument of your peace. If you have a meaningful phrase or a word, you want to pick that word or phrase and choose it as your focus word. And the second step is, in addition to step one, which is have a focus word, the second step is when you find your mind is wandering or you notice some intrusive thoughts, you simply disregard them and you return to your focus word or phrase. So you just allow any unwanted thoughts to pass right through. You say, ah, there, I got caught on that thought. You let it go and you go back to the word one or love or peace. Now, some things that you need to be aware of as we do this relaxation response. Your mind is going to wander. No question about it. Intrusive thoughts are going to enter your mind, and that's perfectly normal, and you need to be prepared for it. Now, just allow those thoughts to pass through your mind very much like a summer breeze passes through an open window. That's a beautiful metaphor because we all know the amazing feel of a warm breeze coming in through a window and just passing through. And that's very critical to have that kind of metaphor in your mind. Now, that letting go and allowing these thoughts to just pass through is what Dr. Benson calls our ability to let go and to release and surrender everyday worries and tensions. And he really says that to summon the healing effects of the relaxation response, you absolutely need to surrender your everyday worries and tensions. So for this 10 to 20 minute period when you're doing the relaxation response, when those thoughts come in your mind, you allow them to pass right through. You don't fight them. You don't get angry that they're there. You don't resist them. You notice them. That's a mindfulness technique. You just notice that they're there and you say, aha, there's that thought about work, or there's that thought about my toxic boss. I'm going to let that go, and I'm going back, and you take a deep breath in, and you focus on your word love, or peace, or relaxation, or calm, or serenity, whatever word or phrase you've chosen for yourself. And this gets our minds out of the way. So-called, it's our monkey mind, what they call the strategic mind, the monkey mind. And we'll talk more about that when we go through the inner healer visualization. In other words, our mind is like a monkey. It's always traveling from this thought to that thought, just like a monkey's jumping from one branch to the next. I don't know if you've been to the zoo lately, but you watch those things, they're just all over the place. And that's what our mind is. That's what the owner's manual of the mind would say. It's like that your mind jumps automatically from thought to thought. And when we do the relaxation response and we evoke it, it's a chance for our monkey mind, our strategic mind, to rest. And you just stop the monkey from jumping by noticing it and noticing the intruding thoughts, letting them pass through your mind just like a summer breeze through an open window, and returning to your word or phrase. Now, any thought can come through, right? You may get the thought, oh, this is stupid. Why am I paying attention to my thoughts? That's a thought. Notice it. Acknowledge it. Let it pass through your mind just like a breeze through an open window. You may think, oh, this doesn't work. I don't feel anything. Ah, there's a distracting thought. I noticed it. I'm going to let it pass through. You might think, okay, I'm going to quit now. I'm going to open my eyes and I'm done with this. Huh? What did you do? Eventually you'll notice, there it is, another distracting thought. I'm going to let it go. Peace. Serenity. Calmness. Right? Now you're going to get caught. Some of these thoughts are going to caught you. We're used to following them. We're used to jumping right on them, and that's what makes our life so crazy. These thoughts are not necessarily meaningful, but that's the monkey mind. That's the strategic mind. And you're going to get caught on some of these thoughts and you're going to follow them down, but at some point you're going to be aware that, oh my gosh, I've drifted off away from my focus word, away from my meditation, and here I am out on the limb of this tree ready to fall off. And you're going to let that thought go like a summer breeze passing through an open window, and you're going to go back to your word or phrase. So, the other important thing to remember is that no matter how much you get stuck, and at first you're going to drift off and get caught following these thoughts down to the end of the branch, out on a limb, you're still going to benefit from the eliciting and evoking this physiologic response, that even when you don't think it worked, in other words, it wasn't a good toothbrushing, it wasn't a good meditation, I didn't feel relaxed, Dr. Benson and his team have measured the benefits. They happen. They happen whether you believe they do or not. That's the amazing thing. But you do need to sit and evoke the response 10 to 15 minutes, once to twice a day, and do your best to focus on the relaxation and the word or phrase that you've chosen for yourself. Now, what are other ways that you can elicit the relaxation response? Now, because it's a physiologic response, and what do I mean by that? Well, what are other physiologic responses? Our heart rate, our respiratory rate, our temperature control. Well, it is a physiologic response. So there are many ways to elicit it, just like there are many ways to make your heart race. You can have a scary dream that can cause your heart to race. You can run up the stairs that can cause your heart to race. You can get angry at someone and that'll cause your heart to race. So the relaxation response is just a physiologic inborn response, and it can be even be triggered, like I said, by putting electrodes in an area of the hypothalamus that triggers it. It would be nice if we could have one there and just turn on a stimulator every now and then, but unfortunately, we weren't implanted with those things, so you're going to have to use your mental mind power and your will and your conscious ability to make changes in your life and develop good habits to do this as a stress management practice. You're going to have to take time to do it. But you can elicit this physiologic response called the relaxation response in many ways. What are some of these? Just like we talked about, for sure the relaxation response, sitting that the two-step method, a focus word and allowing intruding thoughts to pass through. That's the simplest way. But other repetitive exercise can do it as well, like walking or swimming or running. So while you're walking, you can repeat your focus word or phrase with each step or stroke. So you might run and with each step say peace or love or serenity to the rhythm of your walking or running, or I've done it swimming. But you want to use the same focus word so that with the rhythm of your aerobic repetitive exercise, you repeat the focus word, and when intruding thoughts come in, you let them go, you let them pass through. Same idea. Yoga, with its mental focus on postures and breathing, can also elicit the relaxation response. But again, the key is, when intruding thoughts come in, notice, let them go. Let them pass through your mind. Don't get stuck on them. Don't let them take you for a ride. It's just a thought. It doesn't necessarily have any meaning, so let it pass through your mind, just like a warm breeze passes through an open window. Progressive muscle relaxation techniques can elicit the relaxation response, and I'm going to actually lead you through a progressive muscle relaxation technique later on in this Stress Mastery Fundamentals series. Now, deep diaphragmatic breathing, or what we call abdominal breathing, where you focus on the breath, breathing in, and even the sound of your breath can be your focus word. And then, as you relax and breathe out, you let any thoughts that are intruding or catching your attention to pass through, and you go back to focus on your breath. So breath actually becomes your focus word. And by this way, you can also elicit the relaxation response. Now, what other forms? Repetitive forms of prayer. So probably for centuries and millennium, repetitive prayers that we do can elicit the relaxation response. So whatever your religious beliefs, there are prayers in virtually every religion that involve a repetitive prayer or a focus on a particular word or phrase or activity, and you can use the words from those prayers to elicit the relaxation response. And again, the key is always to passively allow any disturbing or interrupting thoughts to pass on through. Singing or chanting a word or a phrase, either silently or out loud. So different forms of chanting or vocalizing or singing can elicit the relaxation response. And also mindfulness meditation. Now, mindfulness meditation is, again, a Buddhist philosophy that involves just observing or noticing things. So I might, if I were to do a mindfulness meditation, I might say, I now notice the sound of my voice. I feel the sound, I feel the touch of the earphones on my ears as I record this tape. I notice the papers on my desk with notes as I'm recording this meditation and this relaxation tape. I see the trees moving in the breeze. I see the branches swaying in the breeze. I notice the sound of my feet on the floor. In other words, you're not attaching meaning, you're not attaching emotion to any thought that comes through. You're simply observing it and noticing it. You may, again, notice that you have certain bodily sensations. I'm thirsty. My feet are on the grass. I feel the grass on my feet. I notice the sound of my feet. I hear footsteps near me. I hear the wind rustling through the trees. You're just noticing. You're not judging. You're not evaluating good or bad. And when you notice and simply observe things, that taps into the relaxation response. It's a way of tapping into really a source of active meditation that elicits the relaxation response. And by the way, you can do this while you're walking. I've done mindfulness meditation while I'm running. And again, the key is not to attach any anxiety, any feelings or judgments or notions of good or bad or frustration to it. Just notice the feeling, notice the bodily sensation, notice the event. And this is a very, very powerful technique. And if you want to read more about this, this is the work of probably one of the best people that does this, the work of Jon Kabat-Zinn, Kabat-Zinn. And he has a wonderful book called Fool Catastrophe Living that discusses this in great length. Now, a couple things you should know about before you start utilizing this relaxation response as a stress management tool. What I teach patients is you can't learn how to swim in a stormy ocean. You wouldn't go out into the middle of a rough, stormy ocean to learn how to swim, right? Well, the same is true of eliciting and learning how to evoke the relaxation response. You don't want to do this in the midst of an emotional storm, a psychological storm, or a social storm going on. If a lot is going on in your life and you're really worked up about something and out on a limb, frustrated and feeling a lot of emotional tension, that's not the time to learn how to do this. If you already know it, it's a wonderful time to sit down and actually practice it. But you have to learn in calm waters. You have to learn how to swim in a calm pool. And then when the storm comes, you can use that skill to stay afloat in the stormy sea. So practice quiet moments whenever you have the chance. Quiet your mind and, you know, focus your awareness and attention on the word or phrase, and then let the intrusive and disrupting thoughts just pass through you, okay? So with practice, learning how to quiet your restless thoughts, how to evoke the relaxation response, will actually come quite quickly. And once you learn how to do this, I can actually elicit this feeling in my body within a matter of seconds. A couple of deep breaths and you can get to a place of calm and quiet and serenity. But again, it's something you have to practice and use at least on a regular basis until you learn it. And then it's somewhat like learning how to ride a bike. You can take some time off, get back on the bike, and you'll be fine. So what have we learned here? Well, in order to achieve any level of stress mastery, we've got to learn to quiet our mind and quiet our body. And one of the most wonderful ways to do that is evoking the relaxation response. It stops the mind chatter. It allows us to move out of our strategic mind into our quiet mind. And it brings us to a place of conscious awareness and attention. Now, that quiet mind, it opens up our perceptions. And remember how vital we said perceptions are to triggering the fight or flight? So one of the ways that we adjust our attitudes and change what triggers fight or flight for us when it's not a life-threatening actual saber-toothed tiger, so to speak, is we learn how to relax our mind so that we can open up to a new perception, a new awareness, a new angle, a new understanding, the ability to reframe an event so that we can see it differently and maybe not take it so personally and not allow it to trigger this automatic fight or flight response. So learning to quiet our mind through the relaxation response is a wonderful way to open up our perceptual ability and to free us to be able to make more positive choices in our lives. Now, in this sense, I would say, look, the mind is likened to a pond of water. Think of restless thoughts like little pebbles being thrown into the water, right? They send out a little ripple of activity, and it disturbs that surface, the tranquil surface of the water. Now, imagine that your inner wisdom and your highest self, your highest being, is at the bottom of that pool of water. And to be able to see it and access it, you need to calm that agitated surface, because you can't see to the bottom of the pond, which would represent your inner wisdom, your higher self. You can't see there when restless thoughts and pebbles are constantly being thrown in and disrupting the surface. So to get to your wisest, most enlightened self, you want to learn how to quiet your restless thoughts and stop that strategic mind, reduce the mind chatter, and allow yourself to get calm again. So that's a brief description of the relaxation response. I hope that that has served you. I hope that understanding how this this relaxation response is an actual anatomical place in our brain that we can trigger by utilizing the right techniques, and we went through a number of those techniques, that you will now practice and utilize that those techniques to really help you achieve a level of stress mastery in your life that can help you improve your health, reduce your stress, and regain a sense of emotional and mental calmness and well-being. And I'm going to end this talk with a quote by one of my favorite sort of witty guys, is Yogi Bear, the famous New York catcher. And he says, in theory, there is no difference between theory and practice. In practice, there is. In other words, what he's saying is it makes a difference. Practice is critical here. Just understanding this theory, just listening to this tape, isn't going to get you to the place where you can quiet your mind chatter and find a sense of calm and turn down your physiology and dim the switch on the fight or flight response. You actually have to practice it. You have to sit down and do the technique, and that's what the next tape in this series is for. I will actually sit with you and lead you through a relaxation response session. So thanks again. I appreciate your time, and I hope that this information has been valuable for you, and I look forward to hearing your experiences with utilizing this tool in achieving stress mastery to bring you greater health, happiness, and peace of mind. This is Dr. Neil Nymark signing off for now.